I'd like to share a verse of scripture from Ephesians with you to begin with. Ephesians 3. If you have your Bible, and I see some of you don't have your Bible. You have your phone? You have an iPad? No? Yeah. You don't have your Bible? That reminds me of another story. When Sister Grace Schultheis was here, I was sitting over there. And she went off on some of you. You don't bring your Bible? All right. I'm in power tonight. You heard what the director said. You don't have your Bible. Go get it. Go get your Bible. You don't have it. You didn't bring it. Okay, go sit by Sister Mary then. All right, then listen, okay? Listen. I forgive you. Okay. And I forgive you. No, you have your phone on your phone. That's good, man. All right. Ephesians 3:16. Listen to this. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That's saying a lot, isn't it? I found another version. It's the Bible in Basic English, and I just like the way it put it from that same thing. It said that in a little, well, it's actually verse 14, that in the wealth of his glory he would make you strong with power through the Spirit in your hearts. Let me read that again. That in the wealth of his glory he would make you strong with power through his Spirit in your hearts. I like strong people. You know, strong people. I have had a couple of friends that were strong. I mean, physically strong. One of them is, he's the pastor of the Kingsburg Church, now known as Anchor Bible Church. Jonathan Schultheis. He just loved to work out. He was drafted by the Eagles, a seventh round draft pick. They came to his house with a $30,000 signing bonus, a helmet and a jacket. That's not where the Lord led him. He was a big guy, and I used to work out with him. You probably can tell by my physique that I've been training. But he used to get us, he loved to lift weights. And one time he invited me to a gym. It was in back of a bar called the Flamingo. It was a big gym. But when I went there, I met Mr. New Jersey. Mr. New Jersey was an Italian gentleman. He was short, but his shoulders were out here. He was a professional weightlifter. And you know what weightlifters do, don't you? They lift weights. I asked him one time, why do you lift weights? So that I can lift heavier weights. It's a whole thing, right? That's what weightlifters do. But it was impressive to see this man work out with his whole heart lifting these weights. It's something to be strong in body like that and to have that kind of strength. It's another thing to have a strong character. I'm thankful for a gentleman who helped us in our building project. He got us going. He actually wasn't an architect. He was a landscaping architect. But he said to me, we're going to the planning board, and we're going to present our plan and make sure that it's going to go okay and everything. And I said, I don't want to go before the planning board. If you've ever had to do that, it's nerve-wracking. And he said, don't worry, Pastor. Don't worry. And he was such a gentleman of strong character. He stood before that, you know, the planning board. It's a panel of the council. And he had me speak first. And I got up to the mic and I was like, what we hope to do. And I could tell in his mind, he was like, why don't you just sit down? So I did. And he got up and said, Pastor Keith may know a lot about the Bible, but obviously what he's trying to say is this is what we would like to do. And it was so good to have a man of strong confidence speak for us. It is something. I discovered something, though, about this. There are things that you will never be able to do or accomplish unless you're strong. You might desire that. You might have ambition for that. It may be something you dream of doing, but you're never going to be able to do those things unless you're strong. And that's just the way it is. I thought about, you don't climb, you don't just one day go, you know, I think I'm going to climb Mount Everest. That's like, sounds like a good idea. Our church lawyer, what was the mountain again, Diane? I always forget. What was it?
Mount Rainier.
Rainier. He got it. He said, I'm going to climb that mountain. But what he did was he started to build up his strength and to be strong enough. Even then, he said that he wasn't able to make it all the way because his lungs weren't strong enough. We have a fellow in the chapel. He ran three marathons. He didn't just decide to run the marathon. He trained for it. He had to make sure that he was strong, that he was fit to do that. That's what you need to do. I remember training for the life-saving course. I'll never forget it. They were like, it was a Olympic-sized pool, and it was like, you got to do so many laps. And, you know, you do one lap, and you go, this is going to be easy. But then all of a sudden, you find out you're not that strong, right? But you build up that strength, and in time, you can do it. This is what happens. You're never going to be able to do some things in life or accomplish some things until you're strong. And I thought about the time that I was working in a gym. I noticed something, that there were some people who you could tell they just started working out in a gym. You know, they have the dumbbell rack. And here they had this one guy came in, a young fella, but he had the small little dumbbells. And he's you know, he was to be pitied, but he was just beginning. But then we had others. You could tell they were in the gym a long time. They didn't start at the small end. This one fellow is way down the other end, you know, and he had those dumbbells the size of my head. And I don't like to make the comparison, but he had those dumbbells. You know, and he had biceps out to here, and it seemed like he was there a long time, like he was a fixture in the gym. Why? He was standing in the middle of everything and just, and you know, you knew he was there a long time because he was looking around while he was doing it. No straining, you know. But then there were other people in the gym that I came to understand that they had been there a long time and had gained nothing. There's a lesson there. Because I grew up in church. And you can grow up in church. You can be a part of it for 10, 20, 30 years and gain nothing. And that's so wrong. And so I wanted us to look at a passage of Scripture, if you have your Bible. Oh, you do? God bless you, brother. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 31. Deuteronomy 31, of course, this is the starting to speak about Joshua. And what happens here is Moses is calling Joshua to himself, and he's going to speak to Joshua. Because Moses was faithful in all his house, it says in Hebrews. He gathered Israel out of Egypt and led them through the wilderness. And boy, what a struggle that was, right? But now he had come to that promised land to enter into it. Of course, Moses couldn't enter into it. But now he needed to speak to Joshua. And if you go to verse 7 of Deuteronomy 31, Joshua is now listening to Moses, and it says there, then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel. I looked at that. You know what? It was in front of all of Israel. It wasn't a private conversation. He talked to Joshua, and everybody is listening. Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. Tall order, right? Joshua, you're going to take these people into the promised land, but you need to be strong and courageous. Moses was saying, Joshua, God wants to do some mighty things, some wonderful things in you, but you need to be strong. What a message. And then Deuteronomy, look down to verse 23. And now the Lord speaks to Joshua. And the Lord commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, what? Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. And look what he says. God says, and I'll be with you. That was the one key thing that God said. This is the thing. You need to be strong and courageous. Why and how? I'll be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you. That was the thing. So here now God was saying to Joshua, God, Joshua, I want to do great and mighty and wonderful things for you. There are things that are going to be accomplished, but you need to be strong. Wow. And I looked at this and I saw that everything God was saying was, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. You're going to get those people into the promised land. That's what God wanted to do. That's what God desired to do. But Joshua needed to be strong. Now, sometimes I hear Christians say, well, God does what he's going to do. God does what he's going to do. Yes, God is sovereign. I absolutely, amen to that. And yet, to just say, well, God is going to do what God's going to do. It's kind of like Kesha, Ra, Sarah, you know. Whatever will be, will be. It's not that way. It wasn't that way here. God absolutely purposed and wanted the children of Israel to get into that promised land. But he looked to Joshua and said, Joshua, I need you to be strong and courageous. You know, God says he doesn't desire that anyone should perish, but people perish. It's important to know that God is going to demand something of us. If you turn to now to Joshua chapter 1 with me, Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is going to get the same message again. Starting at verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And then down to verse 9. Have I not commanded you? What? What is it? Be strong and courageous, right? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Jump down to 17 with me. Just as we obeyed Moses, the people are speaking now, just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. And what do the people say? What do the people say to Joshua? Only be strong and courageous. I look at it this way. The people were like, okay, that's what God wants. He wants to take us into that land. Joshua, God's got to be with you like it was with Moses. He's got to be with you. And Joshua, we heard it a few times now. You have to be strong and courageous. You know, others suffer when we're not strong. We need to realize that too. You think your life is without influence? You think it doesn't matter? You can just do what you want to do? The truth is, that's not so. It matters. Every life has influence. And when we're not strong, when we are weak, we affect others. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, he said this. He said, finally, this is the main thing here. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. How strong do you feel tonight? How strong do you feel in your walk? You know, it's good to ask yourself, how strong am I, Lord? What if God said, I want to do great things through you? Would God say that to you? Well, I'm not a Joshua. It doesn't work that way. God will say, I've got big things to do for you through you. But you need to be strong. You need to be courageous. And that's the second thing. Not just strong, but courageous. Back to Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I think it's obvious that Joshua was a little bit afraid, don't you? How many times did God say to him, Joshua, be strong and courageous? Look at folks, I think your knees would be knocking too if God came and said, I got a task for you. You know the people that didn't make it into the promised land, and now the who died in the wilderness, and now their children, whom Moses finally brought to the threshold of the promised land. Well, Moses isn't bringing them in, Joshua. You're going to be bringing them in. And by the way, there's seven nations who don't want you to come in. That's a big task, right? You're going to need to be courageous. You're going to need to have courage. God makes the promises. We may not like this. You may not like this. But God makes the promises. You're going to get into that promised land. But our job is to believe the promises. It takes courage to believe God. It takes courage to say, yes, Lord, I believe you. Let me share this with you. In our, you know, we worked hard and trusted God in Spotswood for a long time that God would give us our own building. We met in a school, and the idea of getting our own building. We finally got some property, and we were able to build a wonderful, glorious, beautiful parking lot. And that was a work of faith. I don't even know where the money came from for that. But it started out with my saying, look, we have enough money to grade it and to put in curbs. We didn't have money for sidewalks or lights. And then all of a sudden I'm like, we have money for sidewalks, and then we had money for lights. So we had this tremendous parking lot. I used to love to visit the New York churches during their anniversaries and just boast about, we have a parking lot. Because they had lousy parking. They had nice churches, but they didn't have parking lot. We had a parking lot. I would invite on Sunday mornings as we met in the school, come on over and park in the parking lot. You know, you might have to walk down to the school, and, you know, it's a couple of blocks. But we have a parking lot with curbs, with sidewalks, and with lights. Turn the lights on at night. We got a lit parking lot. That's awesome. You should see that night. Me and my kids would play out there. You know, it's wonderful. It's fantastic, right? We got a parking lot. But then the time came when we had a trustee meeting, and they said to me at the trustee meeting, Pastor, it's time. I was just reading this, one of the trustees said. I was just reading this from the Bible of how they put the priests put their feet in the water. It's time that we built the building. And I was like, you know, the parking lot cost $160,000 with an infiltration center. And I can't even begin to tell you where the money came from. But when we started to look into what the present chapel that we have, it was over $700,000. And I remember saying, I don't know how this is going to happen. And it was a real struggle in my soul. I was afraid. I was afraid now, you know. We had a what you would think, oh, Keith, you got a parking lot. You know, be encouraged. But it wasn't like that. It was like, we're going to have a parking lot forever. And that's not good. I'd rather just meet in the school. And the Lord started dealing with me. And I realized something. I was afraid. I was frightened. I'll never forget, I was in the shower. And I'm having a one-on-one with God. Like, God. And then I felt the Holy Spirit ask me a question. And the Holy Spirit asked me, are you going to believe me for a building? Yes or no? And I went, well, Lord, here's the details. And the Holy Spirit came and said, yes or no? Don't you hate it when someone just, it's just a yes or no question. It's either yes or no. And that kept coming back to me. Yes or no? And I kept trying to explain to God, God, but you know, the money, the town, yes or no? And I finally just had to say, yes, I choose to believe you, Lord. But it took courage. It took being strong. And even though I felt weak, you know, even though I felt inadequate, it took yes. It took a yes to the Lord. Well, long story short, unless it's too late, this is what happened. Then a couple of the trustees came up to me and they said, Pastor, we feel, because I was working hard on a loan, you know, I got it. And I got the loan. We feel we don't need a loan. I fired them so fast. No, I didn't. But, you know, come on, think about it. Over $700,000, and these guys are saying, well, I don't think we need a loan. But God brought me back to, you said yes, you would believe me. You said yes. Well, we built that chapel without that loan, and it's absolutely debt-free today. Praise. Of course it was all the Lord. Of course, it was absolutely His grace. But what He needed from me was to be strong and a courageous faith to say yes. And it came when I said yes. I want to share what courage, it's such a good, when you look it up, the courage. Mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear or difficulty. And you know the wonderful thing about courage? It's not how you feel, it's about what you do. Every hero that ever has been interviewed, you know, it never said, well, I went out there and I stood up because I had feelings of great courage. They were shaking in their boots, but they still acted. They still went forward. That's so encouraging, right? Yeah. That word courage, the origin of it, the gist of it is wholehearted. You're all in. I'm going for it anyway. We need that. God wants that. God wants that from us.
Yes.
I'll stretch this out by going to tell another story. I knew I needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Any time and every time someone brought up in a meeting, a pastor or somebody testified about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I got fearful. I got fearful. I said, "What? Oh, boy. Oh, you know, I'll never forget it. I was just afraid. What? I didn't, you know, I told Mike Cargan, which was a big mistake, I think I'm Baptist. I'll just be a Baptist. You know, the Word of God, I love. You know, and there's nothing wrong with being the Baptist. But I just wanted to get off, my back to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was so afraid. But the Lord got after me. I tell sometimes about how there came a knock when I lived here at camp in the winter program, and Reverend Gardner, the first director of camp, knocked on my door and said, "We're going for a walk." It's the Adirondack winter. The man could hardly walk on dry ground, and I was going to go for a walk with him on the ice, you know, up the road. It's just truth. But, you know, God bless him. He took me for a walk, and he said, "Keith, have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit?" And I said, I think I said, "I've come close." I was trying to push him off a little bit, you know. You know, maybe if I said no, I said, "Well, I came close. Maybe it would slow him down a little bit. Slow him down." But, you know, it didn't. I thank God for saints in my life who spoke, as Moses said to Joshua, "Why, you need to be strong and of good courage, of a courageous courage."
Yes,
you need that. And I went after, I'm thankful, right there in that corner, we were having a men's retreat, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I thank God for that. But I want to go on. I stray. My question is, where do you need courage today? Where do we need courage today? Where do you need courage? Don't look for a feeling. See, I believe that's the trick of the enemy. That I'm going to pray and God's going to give me a feeling of courage. And I know God can do that. But my experience has been, he's looking for a yes. He's looking for you to step out and say, "God, yes, I will be strong. And I will be courageous for you." But I want to bring out just three things in closing of where we need courage and today. Number one, we need courageous conviction. We need courageous convictions. We can't lose that. And God can give us that, courageous convictions. Let me ask you something. What is it that you are absolutely convinced of? What is it that you're absolutely persuaded of? You know, everybody has a thing that they're absolutely persuaded of. You can't argue with them. You know it when you sit down at the table that they're absolutely, that's a convinced thing in their life. And that's it. The most meek people sometimes will share something they're absolutely convinced about. The thing about being convinced about something in your life is that your behavior, your attention, and your time is going to flow in that direction. It's inevitable. Your behavior, your attention, what you give your time to, is going to flow in that direction. Well, we need to have a courageous conviction that flows us in the direction of the Holy Spirit. I want to give you some examples from my life that God has helped me with. And that was this. For the chapel, if you come to the chapel, it has its flaws. The pastor has its flaws. Except for those two trustees. They're pretty good. Because they were right about the loan. But you know, for the most part, the chapel is based on the convictions that God has given me. And they're absolute. And my wife as well. They're absolute courageous convictions that God gave us and we said yes to. Let me give you a few of them. Number one, prayer. I already told the trustees, I told our congregation, the day that the prayer meeting ends, I'm gone. The day that our church doesn't have a prayer meeting, there's no church worth talking to. Prayer is so important. Prayer is absolutely necessary. The second thing is this, worship. Now, in the chapel, we have people who are new. I call them raw material. Don't tell them I call them that, but I do. But as long as the chapel, as long as we're there, there's going to be praise. You're going to get a taste of heaven because that's what they do in heaven. They worship the Lord. I tell them, look, I know what you're thinking, some of you. You're thinking, look, it, I'm not a hypocrite. Oh, I hear that sometimes. I'm not going to come in the church raise my hands and praise with everybody else because, I'm not a hypocrite. And I tell them, look, you got it all wrong. So you messed up during the week. So you didn't quite get it right. The truth is, when you come into the presence of God, it's all about Him and not you. He hasn't changed. He is awesome. He is great. And He is so full of mercy. I point them to the cross we have in the altar. And I say, this cross speaks to us of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which has continued and goes after you. If anybody should be raising their hands, if anyone should be worshiping the Lord, it should be you. Because He loves you, despite your weak, despite your failures, despite your faults. That's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how you change. That's how we're transformed. I am thankful that I learned to praise the Lord out loud, to join the choruses of heaven. I remind the chapel all the time, this isn't just our form of worship. Please, don't say that. Well, you go to the chapel, they praise the Lord because they're Pentecostal. I said, don't. We're not Pentecostal. We're not charismatic. We don't do it that for that reason. We do it because of who He is. We praise Him and exalt Him because He's worthy, because He settled the sin issue and He brought us into a relationship with the Father. That's why we praise Him. All right, I beat that horse. The other thing is God's Word. It's going to be about God's Word. The fourth thing is water baptism. To be baptized. If you believe, if you know that your sins are forgiven, if you know that you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, then get yourself baptized. We have four men, the raw material. They're being baptized in a couple weeks. And I'm so excited about it. God has gotten a hold of them. It's an awesome thing to take that step of faith. Those are four things. Real quick here. Personal things, okay? Personal convictions that God has given me along the lines of courageous convictions. Number one, family. Satan wants to destroy the family unit. And God has put into my wife and I, and I'm thankful that He's helped us to keep a strong family. The second thing is this, the internet. I am not going to let the enemy own me with the internet. And you know, that's the big thing in this time. And I have a courageous conviction. God, you, by your grace, I'm going to be strong and courageous and not let the internet own me. I don't have a cell phone glued to my ear. That might be a nice invention. No. But you know, I see so many bound by the internet. I really do. I see so many bound to the cell phone. They're just, it's the latest thing. And it's one of my convictions is, a personal conviction, I'm not going to let the enemy own me. All right, I better wrap it up quick with two more. So the first one is courageous conviction. The second thing is courageous speech. How important it is that you have courageous speech. Listen to what happened here. This is Deuteronomy 20, 1 through 4. This is powerful. When you go out to fight your enemies and you face horses and chariots and an army greater than your own, do not be afraid. The Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, is with you. When you prepare for battle, the priest must come forward to speak to the troops. Now, isn't this something? The priest are to come. You think it would be a general, a lieutenant, somebody to bring some strategy. You know, the priest are to come and speak to the troops. And he will say to them, listen to me, all you men of Israel. Do not be afraid as you go out to fight your enemies today. Do not lose heart or panic or tremble before them. For the Lord your God is going with you. He will fight for you against your enemies, and he will give you victory. This is pretty awesome. It's a big battle. It's a big fight. It's a big challenge. Let's have the priest talk to the army men. Courageous, courageous speech. I remember in Thursday night Bible studies when I grew up in church, how many times I was depleted and depressed and down. I went to a Thursday night Bible study, and you know what? It was the Word of God that lifted me. It was the exhortation that lifted me. Let me read to you from Deuteronomy 20. Then the officers will also say, now this is something. Then the officers, now it's their turn. They will say, is anyone here afraid or worried? If you are, you may go home before you frighten anyone else. I love this version. When the officers have finished speaking to their troops, they will appoint the unit commanders. Did you hear that, though? The officers told them, look, if you're afraid, you're not going to infect anybody else. Wow. Joshua 3:5. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. Further down in 9 and 12 of Joshua 3. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, and all of the Ites. And it says there, and the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. It was a courageous speech that speaks. You know, we need to be careful of what song we sing, of what we say. Because the enemy loves to give us words like, I don't know, I ain't going to make it. Or I can't beat this thing, right? That comes so easily, right? You don't need training. You don't need somebody to teach you that. But you do need to hear that you can do it, that you're going to do it, that God is faithful, absolutely. Things change when we express our faith. Here's the third thing for the evening, and maybe the most important, courageous commitment. Courageous commitment. Listen to Joshua 1, verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Down to verse 8. Study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Down to verse 9. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So important that we learn to make a commitment to the Lord. Over in the swamp, there's a rock. It's a boulder. When I was a staff member here, I had heard some pretty encouraging words, strong words, and I wanted to be strong. It's the Holy Spirit that you even want to be strong. That's a work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And if you recognize that, then God is working in your life. God, I want to be strong. I want to be courageous. I don't want to be just a failure and sorry. You don't want to best be a person that grows up in church and the most strongest emotion that you got is guilt. I'm always sorry. You want to be victorious. And if you feel that way, like, God, I want to be victorious, that's by the Holy Spirit. But it comes down to commitment. And I'll never forget that I was like, Lord, I don't know how you're doing, but I'm sick and tired of myself. I'm just tired of it. And Lord, I need you to do something. And God led me to a wonderful, glorious place called the swamp. And over there, there was a rock. And I sat on it. And I said, here I'm making a consecration to you, Lord. I'm making a consecration. I'm just consecrating to be committed to you. And that's all that I can do. That'll be my part, God. I consecrate myself to you. You know the powerful thing about that? Try it. I dare you to try it. Because the powerful thing is that I could not keep that consecration. I didn't have to. That's why this thing's real. Because God listens. And God receives. And when God saw that my heart was wanting to say, I want to be committed to you, Lord, then the Holy Spirit does the work. But there are some things we do need to do. And look at what, again, what God said to Joshua. He said, Joshua, if you'll stop, if your heart will purpose not to turn to the right or the left, you'll be successful. If you purpose in that, that's wonderful, isn't it? He said, and in 8, we read it too, meditate on the word of God. Get that word of God into your heart. That's where you get your strength. That's where you get your power. So those three things. We need courageous conviction. We need Christians that have that courageous conviction in this day more than ever. We need to have courageous speech. And yes, we need a courageous commitment. Oh, Lord God.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Well, where is it that maybe you need courage tonight? Where is it that maybe God wants to give you courageous convictions? Where is it? Maybe your speech is anything but courageous. Well, what about it? Can't the Holy Spirit help us tonight? If we want help, if we desire that help, perhaps God is speaking to you and saying, I got some things I want you to do, but you're going to have to be strong and you're going to have to be courageous. Oh, Lord Jesus. We want to stand up for you, Lord. We want to say yes, oh God. We're not going to measure our faith. We're not going to measure how we feel. Lord, we're going to just respond and say yes tonight.
Yes.
I'll say yes, Lord, to you. Hallelujah.